grant.
You know, I forgot about those camps you called. How many were these? Let's start over. Tell me all about them.
Well, the first camp was out here, what's it called, Camp 1, Camp 2. It was over in Trinity County. One of them was over in the Gibson settlement, and that Camp 1 was. And Camp 2, I can't think of the name of that, what they called it, but then they moved them both together up to Rayville. And that's where the second camp was. And now to Washington and Bluff City. And then they went up Bluff City and went to move to White City. And they logged down there from 1917-18, I believe it was, to up to 1920, and they moved from there back to what's called Fastrow.
Well, that's wait, now you missed Alcee.
Yeah, well, Alcee, that was the branch over there that they cut out there. Alcee, they moved all them to Fastrow. And that's when the camp got enlarged there. That was one of the beautifulest log camps the person ever saw. And everybody lived there. Some of them lived here now, and they're still paid. That they go to live faster than they would die.
That's what Miss Asher said this morning.
They'll all tell you that. They enjoyed it. It was a wonderful place to live.
Sure.
It was a pretty place to live.
You have tents?
How did they live out? Camps? Tents? No, they built a house. When I was first camp, the camp that they had tents. The first camp for them, and they had to move the
from
there out to Walton, they would build a house.
Boxcars.
Dr. Taddy, he was a doctor out at Walton. He was camped up, coming doctor out of Walton. And then they finally brought Dr. Taddy in the Diabolo, and he was the head doctor there for the company for years. And then they brought the doctor's name now to relieve him. But anyhow, when they went out to when they put the little camp out here at Gilbert, what they called the Al City Camp, they had a doctor out there named Lucas. Dr. Lucas. I had built some houses on too, some rooms on his house out there, out in the carpet camp, Dr. Lucas. And then when they went on to Fastrow, Dr. Turner and Dr. I remember Dr. Turner out there.
Harold's dead. That's Harold's dead.
I can't think of it.
It'll probably come to you in a little while.
But anyhow, I think the first doctor the company had here was named Matthew. Dr. Matthew. He was the first doctor here.
Was Dr. Cook the company doctor?
No, he
just
did.
Doctor.
He just practiced with him, like I said. Dr. Matthew was the first one, and the Vince. One of the doctors who followed him here. I can't think of the first name that followed him. And then how?
Dr. Mann,
Dr. Smith, Dr. Crabb, Dr. Dale, Dr. Chenny, Dr. Who, Dr. Eddie, Dr. Rise.
Wow, you sure can remember.
I believe everybody said he was one of the best pneumonia doctors in the field, so ever lost a case where he was in Pastor and on pneumonia. They said he won.
Was there a lot of pneumonia out there?
Back in those days, ladies, when the flu and all was raging back in 1917-18, there's a world of it. Wow. There's a world of flu. Miss Beaver, remember that? They died here in this sawmill town. My dad just hogged with the cough. There's many persons who passed away here with the flu before the doctor found out what the cure was. I know I had the flu and pneumonia both. I took flu and pneumonia both. Which was what we all do now. Another thing, they wanted you to keep the doors, if you had pneumonia with it, they wanted you to keep the doors open and move, have them move their bed just as close to the door as you could, because there was no ceiling fans or nothing back then. They didn't know that, and you had to keep the patients cool. You talk to the doctor, say, move that bed right in front of the door. That's the way most times they thought to that way, by keeping them in where they could get some oxygen. They said that's the only way to get it. And back then, they didn't want them just one or two sitting in the room with a sick patient.
Breathing up
the oxygen. Because they said if there's more than that, they'd take up all the oxygen and the sick person wouldn't do it. There was one way that doctors treated people back in the old days when there were no ambulances or no hospitals, no nothing. It was all done by old homemade remedies and things like that.
Do you remember some other homemade remedies?
Oh, homemade remedies. When people used to make the child, if he took a cold or crouping thing, make a bag and put a tie bag of oil acidity around your neck. I'd rather take a beating any time.
Well, that stuff,
I tell you right now, that'd move me. That was rough.
I notice you're missing the tips as soon as your fingers. Did that happen at the sawmill?
That's what happened at the shop. Tall through the locomotive wheel. We stacked up some tall on the locomotive wheel and spun around, caught my fingers. Had on some gloves and never even broke the cloth on the gloves. Nice to get those fingers off. You see,
just
see it.
Did the doctor take care of that?
Yeah, Dr. Dale puts in, Dr. Crabb puts in there.
Well, what was your most favorite job that you did with the company?
Well, I had the best time and the hardest work was in the shop.
In the shop?
In the shop. Getting them old boilers up there and them locomotive boilers and that. You come out of that just as black and smoke as a person could be. Everybody laugh at you and all, it was fun. Fun and hard work.
Dirty.
Yeah, I'm popping off all the time. That's the only way in the world that you could enjoy. We had an old boiler back up there, one of the best. His name was Berkey. Everybody called him Mum. And he'd see a bunch of boys be working with him, maybe he'd have one or two upper, see him giving out and all like that. He'd start in and tell an old tale. The old boy said, come on here, said, Mr. Walker, looking busy. That's the way he keeps spirit of it, by his popping off and all that. Everybody enjoyed it, even today. We all had a good time and hard work up at the shop because we all worked together and hoo rolling up. Nobody never get mad. Just hoo rolling and have the best time.
And Wes, every one of them
Yeah, they finally built us a bath house
down there. Before
they went home, they down close to the shop, and that's where we took the bath house. Because back then, a lot of people didn't even have a bathtub in the house. And us men, boys in the shop, we'd always take us a bath down in the bath house. And you'd see them when the whistle blew, we got to run, they'd grab their clean clothes and go and put them on. First and down, I could get on the shower for it. We had triple showers in there. And that's where the first one got in, I'd get bathed first and get out.
That was
right
there at the shop.
Yes, ma'am, that was fun. And the boys went to sawmill, they could bathe, they could bathe out there. Mr. Walker built some baths out right down close to the pond, where the water run back in the log pond, where we'd be wasting the water. Long for years and years, they pumped most of the water from Dive Hole from Ryan's Lake out here to Dive Hole, what they call nowhere, had a no air jammer out there at the lake. And and that thing would pump water from the lake to dive all the ponds. Well, that's the way the company kept water in the pond, especially when it got to getting dry water. Uh-huh. They pump water in there and never ran you.
Well, I've heard of another way that log ponds were sometimes used. Did you ever hear of baptism in a log pond?
Oh, not yet. They had one, two, three, four. They had four ponds here, and there's a couple of them was clear ponds, what's called clear ponds. That's where they get to drinking water most of the time, and they pump it over in high tanks. There, man, and the lines are run from there on down the main line, and they tap off from the main line down to your house. That's where they got the water out. And most of the hydrant was on the outside where they had a wash basin where you wash your hand face on the outside on what we call the back porch. And they always had, in the wintertime, they box those hydrants up with a box and fill that up with the sawdust to keep them freezing. Mm-hmm. My old daddy-in-law, he was a pipe foreman and a kill foreman over here for years. He'd see him with that little wagon going around when he'd get through weather. Refilling up those what we call boxes, the hydrant box, that's what we call them. You see, and it's all filled with the pipe room. Mm. And he'd tell everybody, he said, now be sure when it gets cold tonight to wrap that bib up now where it won't freeze, because if you do, you'll be at our water. That's where we take care of the pipes. We wrap those bibs tonight and then have to unwrap them in the morning to get water.
Every morning.
That's right.
Yeah.
Finally, after Mr. Temple came here, well, then they went to putting in baths, everything in their houses, and scrambling and improving them. That's what I say, it's been one of the finest places that a person could ever work at, Southern Pine. Yeah, I don't think he could go anywhere and beat the management that they had here at this place.
Sure.
They had some more.
Well, was that true from way back in the beginning
with
the founders of this company?
Yes, Mr. Tom was a man by the name of T.L.L. Temple. He founded this company. He came to Davao and founded it. And Miss B, when he first came to Davao, where this place got its name, if you remember, there's an old man camp right down the old mill hill that was named Davao. They called it Davao. And so when they started this company here, they named it Davao. Yeah, he people call this place here Davao.
Davao.
Davao. You go with me everywhere and they'll say, well, are you from Davao? Say, yeah, I'm from Davao. We call it Davao. So, well, it don't spell Davao, it spells Davao. D-I-V-O-W. So that's Davao, that's not Davao.
Oh,
yeah. That's marvelous for people about the name of it.
Did you meet the Davao people that came from Louisiana?
They still call it Davao.
Yeah, and they came back here to see where their great grandfather, I think, had lived. They lived down in the Amazon.
Well, that was a French name.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just still think about the day, what nice treats and all the people have here, and how easy and convenient it is, and what we had in this meeting when we were young. It was rough back then, but we enjoyed it. Young people go out at night and they get the purses and all that and have a big picnic time. Get our weaning ropes. We thought we was living in good. We had a good time. We enjoyed it.
Did the company provide you a house?
Hey, pardon?
Did the company provide you with
a
house?
Yeah, they had a house. You paid so much a month rent on the house. And they had them what they back then had what's called life cords that came down for life, and if they charged you 50 cents a month for every drop, what we call drops in the house, you pay 50 cents a month on your rent on that. They charge you so much a month for your rent.
How many rooms were
there? Oh, sometimes it'd be two or three or four, sometimes five, just on account of larger family moved in. That's a family that went to a man with work here, and he didn't have room enough while the company built another room.
Build it right onto the house
in order to keep a good sawmill.
Most of the houses were built three rooms down this way and hall and one room over here, porch.
And some of them had two rooms in the hall and one room over the
side.
And nearly every one of them almost had a hallway through it. In the wintertime, it didn't freeze to death.
Really?
Yeah, it was really.
Do you remember when the company changed from tokens to paying you in money?
How's that?
Do you remember when the company changed from tokens to paying you in money?
No. Well, it was after we stopped the temple thing. I don't remember what year, but.
Did that seem to suit you better, being paid in cash money?
It's been you, man.
No, I don't remember the day you said it was, but it was there at some time.
Well, at one time, the company paid off here, paid the hands off, and they had what's called old pewter check. It was old pewter, nickel, dime, quarter, and half, dollars, and $5. And I believe that some of it was $10 here. I don't know what. And they went from that to what's called checks. And they paid off the checks for a long time. And then they went to, during the Depression, went to what was called white horses. You'd just go draw a slip, and it'd be so much money on that. It'd listen down a slip, you trade your under, you tear that out, just like tearing your bank check out of your bank book, down there. And that was what we call gray horses. And then they went from that to paying off the silver after the Depression went over, because a little while then they went to paid off once a month, and they got from that to twice a month. And went from that to once a week, pay off every 5 years. They'd always hold back when you reached work on it. If you went to work this Monday morning, or you didn't get enough pay that week, the next week, then you go this week's pay. Of course, if you left and things like that, you go your own salary out of the room. That's where it's all down. He people still have some to go check, and some will go future check. They have to come and pay that way.
Who
has it? Some of the people that used to work here still have some of them. Yeah, they haven't pursued them there.
Do you think left you might have some?
Well, they left to me, they still have some.
Some people work at the store all those years.
Well, can you tell us what your very first memory was? What was your very first memory?
Of this place, you
know, of when you were a little bitty.
Oh, well, when I was a little child, I grew up on a farm out in the country, about a mile and a half out of the town. And times were fine and all, and it's a large family of work. And my daddy never did work at the company, but he had five boys, and we all worked at the company all the time. And Papa always, he was always something about it. He always provided for his family, and he always seen that his children got to go anywhere they want to go, as long as they're nice, best to go. He'd tell us, now go and have a good time, don't get into it. Because he said, if you do, you're going to get out just like you got in. Because I was trying to investigate it, and I'll find out how you hide what all happened. And if you're wrong, I'll get you out. But if you're in the right, I'll get you out. Using the wrong, you get out the best way you can. And we knew he meant what he said, and we always try to behave ourselves, have a good time, enjoy it. We grew up in a large family, and after I got nearly 16 years old, I went to work for the company. I had four brothers ahead of me working for the company. Finally, my youngest brother got, when he got up large enough to work for the company, and we moved off the farms in Navajo in 1922. Been here ever since, since we moved to Napa.
Mm-hmm. You were 16?
Wonderful place.
You were 16 when you started with the company? You were 16 when you started with the company?
Yes, ma'am.
And they had you in the carpentry shop?
I started in the carpentry shop. Yes, ma'am.
What was your...
working on these houses, the company houses.
Building the houses?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
So, do you know
work, I went to work for a carpenter. For a carpenter for me, he lived in Brooklyn. His name was Curry, M.C. Curry. He was called for it, and a good one. Best fellow to work for him or something. But if he told you to do something, well, he wanted to put it up there. You better put it up there, like he said, if you want to stay. If you didn't, he'd give you time. I'd quit. In fact, them days, the company would stay with the man. The foreman, if he fought a man, they'd ask him what he fought him about, and he'd get it. He didn't take the other fellow's word, he took his foreman's word for it. And if he's in the right, he'd let it go. And if you act right, maybe you could come back later and go to work. If they thought you'd be straightened up and make a man, they'd let you go back to work. You had to straighten up and be a real citizen if you got to go back to work. Because if it was far, you were, that was all.
That was it.
And there's one thing about it. Don't never tell Mr. Watson Walker a lie when he was general manager, because if you did, you would never get voted in.
Really?
As long as he is. He said, I just can't. Said I can lock up from the thief, but you can't lock up from the proletarian lie.
Said
you just can't get around it. Said they lie to you when you know it's good will or not. Well, one thing about it, when Mr. Arthur Temple took over, he had the authority to spend the money and do something. Those other fellows ahead of him, they didn't have the wherewithal, and they didn't have the go-ahead like Mr. Arthur Temple. Because Mr. Tom Temple was living in there, and they was trying to save for the benefit of the people. And those old fellows like Mr. Walker, Mr. Durham, and all them, they just didn't have the authority to spend like Mr. Arthur Temple. Because when he took over, he was old chief. He wanted them all to know that. And he was a good too. And he's still just as nice as a man can be. He's never, I don't believe he's ever had an employer yet that when he passed him any time that he wouldn't speak to him. And if you wanted to see him, all you had to do is just go down and tell him you want to see his daughter. You go around in there and talk to him. You didn't have to sit and wait out there, sit around an hour and a half, can't see much talk to him. You could go on in and talk to him. Mm-hmm. He was willing and ready to listen at you. And I think from his idea, listening to people down on the working hall, I think he's become one of the greatest managers that a sawmill company ever had. Mm-hmm. Because he grew up and he knew it from the time he got here as a young man. And he took different people's ideas about it. He worked all those up together, and he had really come a long way. He had really done what to do. And I think he's improved this place. Oh, I know he has Miss B and us too. He's improved this place, this town, 100%.
Really?
He certainly has. And a person that don't want to live here now, he just don't know what living is.
Yeah.
That's right. He just don't know what living is. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's anybody that can say too much from Mr. Arthur. And the other people ahead of him, they were fine, but still they just didn't have the power that Mr. Temple had when he took over.
Mm-hmm. Well,
because his grandfather and all was gone, and his father was still living, and he was one of his final men, the first that ever been. Mr. Temple said he was a prince. And I think that's where Mr. Temple got his knowledge and his experience and his good whereabouts was from his dad.
Mm-hmm.
He was a wonderful person.
Wes, how many people worked with us back when you first started?
Well, when I first started, they just had the mill 2 and mill 1 and the planer. They didn't have the box factory, hammer factory, or anything like that, but just a couple of sawmills. And they wasn't too many people who worked with it. I said both mills, day and night, in the planer, and those who worked out in the yard stack number. Then, now 250. It was pretty cool kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Well, could you describe what a typical day was like? Start early in the morning and go right on through?
You went to work at 6:30 in the morning and worked at 5:30 in the afternoon.
Wow.
You got off at 12 o'clock, had lunch from 12 to 1, went back to work then to 5:30. Worked 10 hours a day, 6 days a week. It wasn't just 5 days, it was 6 days a week, 10 hours a day. And I worked many a day up at that shop. I put in many 8-9 days a week of working day and night, work on the bridge, and they come in broke down. I worked many nights, all night long.
Mm-hmm.
Worked on the bridge.
Did you get overtime if you worked all night long?
No, it wasn't overtime these days. You worked straight time.
When did they start?
Overtime started all the way back. We had to start the time and a half started.
Well, was there ever very much labor organizing, unions or anything like that?
Oh, well, they tried to organize. We went to a box factory, and after it went through, it wasn't long to know the box factory got burnt. I don't know how they were called and stuff like that. But he burned up one day by 12 o'clock.
Noon?
Noon after the check. I never will forget it. I was in the hospital in North Red Jones, and Carpenter phoned me then, named Jackson. He came up out to see me and said, well, this is what happened to Dynaboy the day at noon. I said, we have no luck. He said, box factory burned up. I said, oh, no. He said, yes, it went down in ashes. It went from one end up to the other, just about.
Did they ever rebuild it?
No, ma'am.
They didn't rebuild it?
It burned in 45.
45.
I never did work there at that place anyway, but that place anyway was a good place for it. I know a lot of them got the fingers kicked off and all like that.
They didn't rebuild that one, but they built one
of Daniels. Oh, yeah, well, they built a small one. They didn't run the back up
here.
That old building was already up there. I think that old building was already up there. It was just being when they reopened the back, they didn't run the long. But they never did build the old box factory.
They employed a lot of women there at the box factory, didn't they? Didn't they employ a lot of women?
Oh, yes, ma'am. They sure did. Yeah, women made good hands over there. They couldn't get all the men there, you see. Over half of them ladies that worked there.
Really?
Yes, ma'am. And they had lots of nice home buildings up there for their employees. That's what they call Lakeview Edition over there.
Lakeview
Edition. Uh-huh.
Well, what did the husbands of the women who worked in the box factory do?
Oh, they worked around the mill, shop, planer, out on the yard. Nearly everybody that wanted to work in the days could work.
How about black people? Did they get a lot of jobs for black people?
They mostly worked out on the yard, and some of them in the mill. But the biggest majority of them had to go to work outside.
Where did they live?
The quarters were back on the west side of town. That's where the quarters were located.
Was there ever a very big black population here, or was it pretty small?
Pretty good population, yes, ma'am, sure was. I might never start there, came in. There might never have been a black woman here, and I hope it was white. Black and true, yes, ma'am, sure was. A lot of good colored people working here, they sure were. And a lot of them would do anything in the world for them. And they always respected themselves. And when 6 o'clock come of evening, they never did cross the side of the track. They always stayed with them. They wasn't allowed on the side. They stayed with themselves.
Was it a law, or was it just something everybody just went by?
Well, it was just something that the town went by, the people there. Yeah. And the colored people followed them. They went on for them. And let them come over and trade the store, trade the house and all like that. But when 6 o'clock come, they did pass the taxes out the store. They stayed on their side of town.
Well, tell us about the family you raised. Did you raise a family?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't raise a family.
I remember one time here when I was small, they had what they called an old air dome for the picture show. And Miss B, you remember where it was located, was here outside of town. And there's an old fellow on it with the name of Cheney. And he had a fellow with the name of Coach that was running the picture. And you can hear it all over town any time a little father would come. Picture called Father Night, that old man come down the aisle, chewing that brown mule tobacco. Holly, shut her down, Pastor, she'd have burned it up. Everybody got around when the little boy was in there. They'd go put her out, boy, Pastor, she'd have burned it up. And Mr. Tucker and Mr. Franklin, Hein Wise, they bought it, the man out, and they run it for what you call the old solid picture show. You remember that one, Mr. B. Had one here, and it finally burnt and built one up here in Cooperstown. You remember when
they... Arrows of Pauline with my favorite one, that cereal they run, Arrows of Pauline.
She won one side of the railroad track and all that.
All that stuff.
Well, tell us about social events that there used to be. Were there, was
Oh, yeah, every summer, the Methodist and the Baptist would always have revival, and sometimes it run nearly a month. And revival sure would. They never had no 2 or 3 days of revival. If they couldn't have as much as 10 or 15 days, boy, they didn't want that preacher. They want that, Miss Beaver knows that, they want somebody to arouse up the people.
Uh-huh.
And they just figured in a 2 or 3 day revival, that just chunk of money away from them things. They had to have a real revival. And the people here, the Methodists have revivals, boy, always have the house full. And if they had it under a tent, boy, it'd always be full. And the Baptist, same way, when they'd have the revival, Methodists, there'd be as many Methodists in there and the revival would be Methodists.
Really?
They'd just come to help one another.
People just love their revival.
And that's
themselves.
Right. They just love the revival if they, and they love people. They just love people. And they'd come to them. They just flock.
Did you go to the Baptist church?
Yes.
Where were you baptized?
I was baptized in their church, apparently, the building of Baptist Street.